I trust him to do that. I've done it for a lot of years, and I can trust that. And then I can say, all right, here's your answer. Let's pray. And then I pray and loose the anointing of the Christ to remove the burden and to destroy the yoke, Isaiah 61:11. See, I'm putting the word to specific practice and application. And then I've heard them scream. I've heard them do all kinds of things. One time I was praying for a lady on the air, and I just sensed a strong spirit of mockery. Now, mockery in a person's life will cause their lip to turn up. They'll sneer at you if you see them in person. I said to the lady, are you any place near a mirror in your house? She said, oh, yeah, I'm at my bedroom vanity talking to you. There's a mirror right in front of me. I said, if you'll notice, look in the mirror, you'll notice that the left side of your mouth is turning up. And she screamed. Oh, my God, she says. Well, see, now what I was seeing in the spirit, I got spiritual thoughts, a spiritual description of this woman, her spirit makeup, but was also showing up in her flesh. And then I could move in and say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not psychic. The Holy Spirit showed me that, and let me pray for you. And I prayed that the spirit of mockery and bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness would leave her life. Now, to me as a minister of the gospel, that's invaluable because I'm not guessing. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not doing the shotgun deal. We're being more specific.
You're using the word simulcast, and to many of you that might be a new word. But really what Darren is saying is he is not only being used in his human body to see spiritual things, but God is giving him spiritual visions. And you can read that in 1 Corinthians 12 with the gifts of Holy Spirit that he's given to the bodies. And especially the discernment of spirits. That is so important for you today. And we can only really truly get that when we're speaking in tongues. I'll tell you, when we're filled with Holy Spirit and he comes to you and begins to do spiritual things with your mouth that just, you know, a lot of junk has been coming out all these years. You know, you've talked down to your folks and you've yelled and screamed and hollered and you've said negative things out of your mouth, and all of a sudden Holy Spirit is using things, language in your mouth that is edifying to you. All of a sudden you're seeing your natural mouth coming forth with spiritual things. And that's basically simulcast. It's taking a natural and putting spiritual with it.
Well, see, if we just depend on the five senses that we've been so highly trained to trust,
yes,
what you see, what you taste, what you feel, and being a former elementary school principal, I know about they did a unit on the senses for the little guys, and they bring something in the smooth, and they bring in some spices, let them taste them, and all that kind of stuff. Well, they taught them about the senses.
Mm-hmm.
That was dovetailing into the age of reason. What we're talking about here is something else. This is on another track. This is a spiritual track, not on the flesh.
That's right.
Because Romans 8:6 that you quoted earlier, the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. And we want life and peace, don't we? Mm. And that's the way you begin to find that. So
yes, and what you were saying about, you know, the idols that are in front of us, we are destroying things that we have built up in our own lives to possibly measure by. And some of these are idols. And Paul said so beautifully in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that we are destroying every vain imagination. Now, those are things that you have built up in your sinful mind that you are guided by. Now, I don't know what they are, but you do. And you are now, as a believer, you're destroying them, because they aren't any more reliable. You see, it's the Spirit of God within us that's reliable. Paul goes on to say, we are destroying every vain imagination and every lofty thought raised up against the knowledge of God. See, everything that is competing against God, we're destroying in the Spirit. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience, all idols, all pride, all anger, everything that keeps us from hearing the voice of God, because we're becoming obedient through the instruction of the Word. And listen to this next thing, Darren. This is so good. In verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 10, or do you look at things as they are outwardly? Again.
That
see,
is
are,
so
are you
right
looking
on
at things as they are outwardly again? No, we can no longer do that. We've got to look inside ourselves. And he says, if anyone is confident in himself that he is Christ's, let him consider this again within himself. We're no longer looking to the outside for our wonderful satisfaction or fulfillment. We're not looking to the world any longer. We're looking inside the Holy Spirit.
Well, see, some people would say, you know, if I were talking to them about prosperity, really trying to get them to believe in biblical prosperity. They say, all right, listen here, preacher, let me show you something. And they get their checkbook and they lay it out there. You say, you notice these minuses, these circles here? I'm overdrawn at the bank. Now, what do you have to say about that? Well, if I accept that as final reality, then I'm just as bad off as they are. But if I say to them, listen, you know, I believe God has an answer for that. I've been overdrawn before. Mm. I'll bet you everybody has. Mm, you made a mistake in your checkbook, or you forgot to make a deposit, and you've got it in your car, or you got it in your purse, and you just didn't do it. I mean, there are a lot of reasons to be overdrawn. But is it the end of life? No. Does that label you? It shouldn't. Well, Darren, I'm telling you something. I've been raised poor, and I'm always poor, and I'll always be poor. Well, now, wait a minute. Just a minute. Joshua 1:8 says, if you meditate on the Word of God day and night, you'll be prosperous and successful. You know what you're meditating on? You're meditating on lack and fear.
Getting even.
Getting even, you know, and getting out of the hole and fighting the bills and blah, blah, blah. And you're saying to yourself, you're paralyzing yourself with your big mouth saying, I'll always be in debt. My family was raised poor. We never had enough, and I won't ever have enough, and so there. That's that. Well, now, wait a minute. Why is that the final word? Why isn't the Word of God the final word in your life? Why do you take the circumstance which you just read about? Read that verse again, Barb, about the natural world.
In 2 Corinthians
yes,
10.
That is awesome, awesome information for us. I'm going to tell you, we need to get the revelation on that.
We are destroying every vain imagination and every lofty thought raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and we are ready to punish all disobedience, everything that we've looked to before. That's gone now. We no longer look to anything that we had used to look to in the world for guidance. Whenever your obedience is complete, whenever we are learning the Word of God, we are holding the Word of God inside of us. We are meditating on it, like you said, Joshua 1:8. Day and night, we're meditating on the Word of God. You are, and then verse 7 goes on to say, or do you look at things as they are outwardly again? If anyone is confident in himself that he is in Christ, let him consider this again within himself. And that's so important, Darren.
Now, Barbara, I'm going to tell you, occasionally I don't get enough sleep or whatever, and I have a slight pain come in my head. You know when I fight that? It's not 8 hours later. Mm-hmm. 8 seconds later. I may be driving down the road, and for some reason I have a slight pain coming. I'll say to you, would you put your hand on my head and pray? Now, you see, I want to bring in a higher authority because I enjoy being pain-free. Mm-hmm. I don't enjoy going along and say, well, let's see here. If we go by Walgreens, and we got a Walgreens, you know, less than a mile from our house. I run over to Walgreens or a grocery store, and I'm going to go in there and talk to the pharmacist. I'll get the strongest thing. I'll knock this thing out of my head. It's not going to ruin my day. Now, wait a minute. You know, this has happened several times, but I've said to you, I've got a headache trying to come on me. You have started to reach over there, and several times before your hand got halfway to my head, it was gone. Mm-hmm. Because I was looking to the anointing of God, which I know is on your life and it's on my life, and I'm going to trust that rather than the pharmacy.
That's right. Well, and
now, but you see, that's that last verse that you read there about taking captive every... What does it say?
Vain imagination. And then are you looking again to these outward things?
That's right.
You know, turn around. Look inside of you. That's where the answer is. And Darren, if I have any area of temptation or weakness, it's in finances. When I hear a negative report or something, especially personally towards us, my first inclination is to begin to worry. What's going to happen? We got all these bills. Our budget is higher now. What's going to happen? We're not going to be able to pay all these bills. Instead of beginning to let this tape rewind and go again and
when,
again.
When was the last time that happened?
Well, just about 3 days ago. And what did I do? What did I do? You began talking to me, and immediately
right.
It was like when I had those symptoms of strep throat. I could either decide to continue to worry and get into a total downward spiral, or I could take some sound advice. And Darren, it's so important that we change our ways.
But what I said to you, saying you would do it for me, it happened to be my turn to give it to you. So I said to you, oh, remember, Barb, Jesus is Lord. He is our source.
Yeah, see, and that's the word.
See, and I'm taking